Hi, Avril here from Access Credit Union. We are delighted to once again sponsor the Star Sports podcast. As part of our range of new business loans, we now offer Cultivate Farm Finance, the farmer-friendly loan package. With a Cultivate loan, farmers in West Cork can benefit from the local decision-making and personal service offered by Access Credit Union. To find out more, go to accesscu.ie/cultivate, call me on 085 268 2727 or 028 21883, where a member of our team will be happy to help you with your inquiry.
Close your eyes and pull like a dog.
And a new Irish record for Phil Healy, 22.99.
Christy Cooney hands over the Sam Maguire Cup to Graham Canty, Cork All-Ireland champions for the seventh time ever.
Hello and welcome to the Star Sport podcast. My name is Jack McCarran of the Southern Star and I'm joined as always by Star Sport editor Kieran McCarthy. Before we kick things off, I'd just like to give a gentle reminder to our listeners and viewers to please rate, review and subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify and YouTube. The Star Sport podcast is brought to you in association with our friends at Access Credit Union. Access Credit Union, where your bank really does matter. Choose the credit union, choose local, choose community. On this week's show, we're looking ahead to Sunday's All-Ireland Camogie final between Cork and Kilkenny. We'll be joined on the show by Cork manager Matthew Toomey, who has led this Cork side back to the final during his first season in charge. Before we hear from Matthew Toomey, though, we're also going to reflect on some of the biggest results and storylines following the start of the County and Carbery Hurling Championships last weekend. To help us do that, we're joined once again by Matthew Hurley, a.k.a. at GAA underscore Statsman 2 on Instagram and at GAA underscore Statsman on Twitter. So plenty to seek our teeth into again this week, lads, and we might as well kick things off with the All-Ireland Camogie Final, which takes place at Croke Park this Sunday at 4:15. The Cats booked their place in the final with an impressive 113-12 points win over defending champions Galway, while Matthew Toomey's side staged a dramatic fight back to overcome Waterford 15-10. Kieran, we've spoken about this on the podcast in recent weeks. There was no Orla Cronin involved in the semi-final, but we did see Aisling Thompson in action following a successful appeal against her two-match suspension. So just briefly on her, how important will her availability be to Cork's chances on Sunday?
Matthew Toomey summed it up so well after the semi-final win against Waterford. He said she's different gravy. She's different class. And we'll hear from Matthew quite soon, but he thinks that Aisling Thompson has come back to the form that she showed back in 2014, 2015, that she's back to that importance with Cork. And that's good news for Cork Camogie to have Aisling Thompson ticking, because we saw against Waterford just how influential she can be. She changed the game. Cork was struggling big time in that first half. Took 25 minutes to get on the scoreboard. Cork brought her on late in the half, because it was only hours beforehand that she got cleared to play in that game. We got to think back to the Cork's last group game against Tipperary, when Aisling Thompson got a red card after the final whistle and she was served with a two-match ban. So that went to an appeal, and it was just in the morning of the semi-final that she got the green light to play. So that was very late in the day. But she showed her class and importance by changing that game and turning the tide in Cork's favour that day. So huge boost for Cork to have her available, because at one stage when she was hit with that two-match ban, it looked like she would miss the business end, which is a semi-final and a final.
Matthew, I'm going to come to you on Sunday's game now then. There's obviously a very strong West Cork influence on this Cork team, no more so than in the full back line, where Libby Coppinger was once again instrumental in Cork keeping a clean sheet in the semi-final. So how important do you think a strong performance from Libby is to Cork getting over the line on Sunday?
I think it's massively important. Even on the start this week, I interviewed Paddy Murray, a guy from St. Columb's as well, and Michael Mornan, and they were all in agreement that Libby should get an All-Star this year. And look at her performances. She's been absolutely exceptional. And yeah, it's a joke of football and camogie as well. Like Paddy was actually mentioning that like it kind of helped Libby and Maeve Callaghan as well, that the footballers went out early and Jewel can't be done anymore. But the fact they're doing Jewel and their performance at the highest of their ability, I think is a credit to them. They're absolutely outstanding. And there's a few Courses girls on it as well. Fiona Keating's been excellent. Saoirse McCarthy's been unreal as well. So Cork have a good, strong team there, despite the loss of Order Cronin, of course. There's other forwards stepping up. Amy O'Connor being one, definitely, and Katrina Mackey. But yeah, definitely Cork have done absolutely exceptional. And Libby Coppinger, like, if Cork win on Sunday, there's an argument that Libby Coppinger could be up for player of the year. She's been that good. She's been very good at fullback. So yeah, if they win on Sunday, it's been mostly down to Libby's brilliant performances this year at fullback.
Kieran, a name Matthew mentioned there is, of course, Fiona Keating, who was Celtic Ross Sports Star of the Year award winner the year before last. And she's really solidified herself as a key player in that Cork Camogie side. What is it about Fiona that you think has allowed her to become such an established player? She's now clearly one of the best Camogie players in the entire country, not just in Cork.
It's quite interesting what Matthew said there. And in his talk with Paddy Murray in terms of Southern Star, especially on Libby Coppinger, Paddy made the point that it's very, very hard for dual players at the top level right now. That he said there might even be space for dual players at top level right now. Fiona Keating was a dual player, a senior dual player there for a season the year before last. But she made the decision early 2021 to focus on Camogie. So she parked Cork football. But Cork football's loss was Cork Camogie's gain, because she was able to focus herself fully on Cork Camogie. She flourished last year, and she's having another very strong season as well. She's had a couple of hiccups. She broke her hand early in the year during the league. She's broken a finger as well. So it's not been all kind of clear, plain sailing for her. But she is such a key player for Cork in the Cork attack, especially when you consider too that Orla Cronin has missed so much of the season, and Orla Cronin is obviously not involved in the Cork panel now. To have a player like Fiona Keating step up and just help that Cork attack flow is so, so important. And she's one of several West Cork players. We mentioned Saoirse McCarthy, wing back, crucial player for Cork as well. The two Cork wing backs this year are bombing forward, and they're getting a fair few scores as well. And they're very attack-minded, Saoirse McCarthy and the wing back, and it's Laura Hayes, I think. Also, that is worth mentioning too. A couple of more West Cork players, Kira O'Sullivan from Newcestown, she's been on the panel now for a couple of years. And then there's Kate Wall, who plays her camogie with Kilbritton, Tim O'League. So West Cork is well represented on the Cork senior panel this Sunday. And it's worth just a quick mention too for the Cork intermediates there in the All-Ireland final. They're taking on Galway in the, I think it's 2 o'clock, throw-in in Croke Park. And there's a couple of Courses players on that as well, Grainne Hennan and Ashley Maloney. We have an interview with Ashley Maloney in Thursday's Southern Star. And we can't not mention the All-Ireland Premier Junior Camogie Final, Jack. It's the big one up in Barry Road, because Jennifer O'Leary, or Jennifer Curry, is in Europe the North. She will be lining up for Armagh as they take on Antrim. And I presume there'll be busloads from Barry Road hitting up to Croke Park to support Cork, but they'll be up there early. I think it's a 12 or half 12 throw-in for the Premier Junior Final. So just to wish them all the very best of luck.
Okay, lads, before we go to the club action, I want to get predictions from the both of you, because obviously Kilkenny beat the defending champions Galway in the semi-final, so it's not a case of Cork showing up on the day. It's going to be a very tough game, but Matthew, will come to you first. Can Cork reclaim the All-Ireland Camogie crown?
I think they can. Like, when you look at Kilkenny's record in the last few years, they've only won 2 All-Irelands in this millennium alone, only 16 and 20. So the record hasn't been particularly good. They only win 1 All-Ireland in 4 years or something like that. That's their average. So they aren't great when it comes to that. But this Cork team, they'll be worked after last year's All-Ireland final. Like, I think it was mentioned, Matthew Pumby mentioned on Star, I think it was, that they were disappointed in how it ended last year. Like, they only scored, I think, 1 point in the last few minutes, and Galway just ran away with it towards the end of it. Wayne was close and nip and tuck towards the end of it. And yeah, Cork just started to see, but I don't think that'll happen this time around. The subs will be big now for Cork, and Matthew Toomey's big thing was building a panel. He's built a panel now, and they'll come on. Kieran mentioned Kate Wall as well. The likes of Ashley Thompson, Izzy O'Regan. Like, I look at their scores all over the field. They have 15 different scores in the championship alone. So that's a pretty good showing. Kilkenny themselves have very good scores, and very much, and Denise Gall. But I'd fancy Cork to win it. I just think they'll be improved from last year. They'll be hurt from last year. And yeah, I'm going to go for Cork victory.
And Kieran, even?
I'm going to complete the clean sweep. I'm going to go for Cork too. It's 2018 since Cork lost one of the All-Irelands, which is a long wait for the county that's won it more times than anyone else. I think Cork are going for their 29th O'Duffy Cup on Sunday. Like Matthew said, I think the pain from last year losing that final to Galway, that has to play a part, because those players know what it's like to lose in All-Ireland. And they had that final almost in their grasp last year. I think they were 3 points up inside the last quarter, but Galway just finished that game so, so strongly, and Cork just didn't have the answers. Would you look at that Cork team? You mentioned Libby Coppinger, the likes of Fiona Keating, but there's so many experienced players there. Look at Laura Tracy, look at Amy O'Connor, look at Hannah Looney, look at Ashton Thompson, class acts all over the field. And there's a lot of big game players too, big game players there for Cork who can influence this game, who can turn this game in Cork's favour. But it's not going to be easy, because over the last couple of years, Cork have come up short in big games. They've lost their last couple of finals in Croke Park, whether that's All-Ireland finals or league finals. So they need to get that monkey off their back. But I think they have a great chance on Sunday to do that, but it won't be easy.
Well, confident predictions from both Kieran and Matthew. Cork to reclaim the All-Ireland Senior Camogie Crown this Sunday in Croke Park. We're going to switch our attention back to the club action last weekend now, and there's plenty to cover. Clubs from right across the region were involved in championship matches from Senior A right down to Junior B. And so, Matthew, we want you to give us your five biggest takeaways from the weekend that was, starting with number five.
Yeah, number five is Aberdeen Rangers beating Ballygarvan at the weekend, 19 points to 11. And this is a big win for the Tipperary-based club, because their next game after this now is Dripsy, who lost pretty heavily to Ballygiblin in the other game as well. So if Aberdeen win the next game, they could be into the next round. And that's big for their club, rising hurling in that area of the woods. Like, they'd be a pretty good side. Like, there's some very good players there. And that was a big win over Ballygarvan at the weekend. Number four is kind of a double win for Kilbrittain over the weekend. Yeah, they won the junior, but they also won the Premier Junior against Milford as well, 360-217. A brilliant victory for them. And considering they were the only team to win in that group, Barry Rowe, another West Cork side, and St. Benbar's drawing that group, that was a brilliant victory for Kilbrittain. Very, very good victory for them. And brilliant that both sides won. It was a great double victory for them. And number three, it's an interesting one, because I was at this game battling against Valley's West Cork Derby. It wasn't probably a game for the purists, I'll be honest. But Bandon, they got over the line in the end. Like, Valley's did get the score from playing in the second half. It was a strange one, because actually Valley's had to win in the second half and they didn't make use of it whatsoever. The Bandon goal from Cahill Lynch was enough to get them over the line in that game. That was a crucial win for Bandon, who played Enniscarra at the weekend. So that was a really big win for Bandon. It was a vital win. It wasn't the best performance of the world, but they got over the line in the end. And Pat Barry even mentioned that in his post-match interview. Delighted with the victory. And the top two again after that is Lucistone and Courcy. Starting off with Lucistone, brilliant victory for them against Mallow. Big game against Fermoy next for them as well. Like, 124-316. Like, they actually were behind for most of the game, but then Jack Mead's goal turned it around late on, and Lucistone drove out the victory then. Very, very good win for them. Of course, it's the first win in Senior A level. Brilliant victory for them. And their next game's actually very interesting, because they have Father O'Neill's, who hammered Blarney in the other game. So that'd be interesting to see where courses are actually at. It was a very good victory over Killa, and they got 22 points. Killa got 3-11. They aren't as reliant on goals to keep them in game. So that's a pleasing aspect for Courcy. So very good weekend for West Cork sides in the hurling crunch. You don't see that too often.
No, absolutely not. Can we just briefly stay on Lucistone then for a moment? Because it's something maybe that we speak about every year, and it just came to my mind when we were speaking about the challenges faced by dual players such as Libby Coppinger and Fiona Keating. The fact that Lucistone managed to compete at the highest level, or just more or less the highest level in both senior club hurling and football, like, it never ceases to amaze. And I just wonder, do you think, Matthew, I'll ask you first, do you think there's ever any conversations within the club that they might just say, right, this year we're going to park the hurling or the football and go full steam ahead on one or the other, or is it just the culture in that club to try and compete on all fronts at the highest level? Because you'd have to wonder if they did focus their attention to one or the other, they'd probably dominate and win a county title.
Well, arguably, in any case, they wouldn't even get out of the football group anyway. No disrespect to Lewistown, no, because Clan, Nemo and Castlehaven are far better than them at this moment in time. But look, I think they're happy the way they are, just competing highly at both levels. Like, what West Cork team can actually say that? That they're competing at a high level in both hurling and football. So that's something they have all over the region, definitely. Like, Clan aren't competitive really in hurling. Harry Rangers barely have a hurling team either, so Castlehaven don't have a hurling team at all. So, you know, it's a brilliant achievement for Lewistown to keep going the way they do. And it's the same players of both teams as well. So that's a brilliant achievement. They play week in, week out. I think it's a superb achievement. I know there's the argument that they could perform in one or the other, but for a West Cork team to perform in both counts, I don't think much West Cork teams over the years could say that.
No, just in case there's any Clonakilty hurlers listening there, I think they did have either a win or a draw at the weekend in the junior A, so we'll give them credit for that. But yeah, Carrie Rangers and Castlehaven, I haven't heard sight or sound of a hurling team from either of those over the last number of years. But Kieran, just on Lewistown again, are you impressed by what they've managed to do again this year by putting out competitive teams? Now, albeit, as Matthew alluded to there, they're probably not going to progress in the football, but the fact that they won't be an easy game for anyone in that football group is worth credit in its own right.
It's almost a cliche at this stage to kind of use its own doggedness and determination. Like, in fairness to them, and Dick O'Matthew said there, like, to be a dual senior club of football and hurling is an incredible achievement in this day and age. And just to know too that the Lewistown Camogie team is a senior team as well. So it's a club that does an awful lot of things right on and off the pitch. But to be, I suppose, quite frank as well, it's so tough for Lewistown competing in the senior ranks because they just don't have a break at the moment. They're coming off the back. Okay, they lost to Nemo Rangers in their first football game. They never straight into Clonmallow last weekend. It's this Sunday the 7th, Lewistown Fermoy and Ballincollig at 2 o'clock. The week after then, they have a huge football game against Clonakilty. So it's so hard to give it all to one code when you're splitting your time between both codes. And the reality is that it's hurling right now in Lewistown. But come Monday, it'll be back to football again. But they want to touch the football since before that Nemo game. So it's quite tough for them to try and excel in both. They'll always give it their best shot. And even that Lewistown Clonakilty game, and I get what Matthew's saying, that it's going to be very, very tough for Lewistown or even Clon to get out of that group when you consider that Haven and Nemo are there. But the winner of that Clon and Lewistown game the weekend after this will win their last game with a chance of progressing. So that's a huge game as well. The big games are coming thick and fast for Lewistown right now. And that's the way the players like it. But there will come a time later in the championship, and we heard it last year too for the junior clubs, where when they just don't get a break, and that'll catch up. The players will get tired, and that is a problem, I suppose, or an issue with the way the season is now. But it's just that the junior clubs find it very, very hard. But it's the way the season is laid out. But for now, we'll keep doing what they're doing. If they get a win this weekend against Fermoy, they'll be hopping into the football game against Clan the week after.
Just last point on this, I want to ask Matthew, because obviously, Matthew, people may not know, but you're involved with Ballinascarty GA Club, who are obviously a successful dual club in their own right. They always put out competitive football and hurling teams. Just from your own personal experience within a club of that nature, what sort of politics go on behind the scenes? Is there arguments between the football purists and the hurling purists, or is it very much a case of we're a small-ish club, let's all just row in together and try to produce the two best teams that we can on any given year?
Did you just call Ballinascarty a small-ish club? You'll never be left into the parish, Jack, after that.
Jesus, thank you, Jack. Seriously, you know the people doing Ballinascarty, you know.
Don't forget that.
But I think it's a fact of the two clubs rowing in, because the two management teams there, the hurling team is managed by Joe Ryan, who else is there, Brian Murphy there as well. Like, they've worked together with Niall Toomey and Stephen Ferguson there with the football, so they'd be passionate enough. Like, they won the hurling last year, they went up pretty early in the football against James's, hammered out the gate really, but I think, look, the balance is right this year, I think. I think Ball could make a run. I know it's probably a bit of a biased opinion though, but I think Ball will be a threat in the football this year in the Junior A. The Hurling, obviously, they're champions, albeit they struggled over the line against Donnies at the weekend. So it's interesting to see if they do well in football and Hurling. And it won't be bad for a smallish club, Jack, if Ball win the double. That'd be something to do.
Oh, I'll be eating those words for the rest of my time with the Southern Star, I'm sure. But look, let's park the football chat there for a moment, because there's a biggish game that we need to preview with the Cork senior camogie manager on Sunday. So let's hear now from the man himself. It's Matthew Toomey.
So Matthew, what does All-Ireland final week look like for Cork, I suppose, in terms of preparation, keeping the players fresh, working on game plans for the big match on Sunday?
Well, I suppose at this stage, kind of the majority of the work is done. We've all the media stuff and all that is out of the way, and the tickets and gear and all that comes with that. It's all sorted. Like we wanted a clear run of it. So like we'd be basically training kind of, I think it's a 4-10, maybe tomorrow, no, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. But it'd be just more get-togethers, having a chat. I suppose just kind of meeting up, because it's a long stretch, you know, if you're on your own there, it's better to be in the group and all that, you know, so just keep everything down, like, you know, like we're lucky we were there last year, we know what's facing us, so like it's just virtually the same thing again.
You mentioned last year, and that was a game that ended in disappointment for Cork, losing to Galway. So what do you do with a game like that in terms of the weekend of an All-Ireland? Is that just parked to one side? And I know it was parked very early in the year. Or is it something that you touch on again with the players in terms of the disappointment and hurt that they felt after it? So what do you do when you're preparing for an All-Ireland final, having lost the previous one?
I suppose there's a bit of both. Like the main element, I suppose, we parked it because like it was, you know, a different team, different management, the whole lot. I suppose the only thing we use is a carrot as well. Like that feeling we had, you know, after the game, you know, it was obviously a very somber feeling and all that, and just what we can do to rectify it, and what we don't want to face that again. So I suppose we kind of use it in the both ways, really.
And like you mentioned too, like there's a lot going on at the week of an All-Ireland final in terms of tickets and all that stuff. But having that experience from last year, especially for the younger players, I know the experienced players, the Ashton Thompsons and so on, that they've been through before over the years. But for the players last year, like Fiona Keating and so on, to have that experience under their belts, that should help them this week.
Big time, yeah. And you know, like, obviously, you know, their clubs know make a bit of a fuss of them at home and all that. And that's nice for the players, like, but just don't get sucked into it is a big thing. Like, the regards to tickets and the gear and all that, it is the kind of the senior players are dealing with it, just saying, lads, just get it done, get it started, get it out of the way. It doesn't make a difference. Like, it's you know, it's immaterial, really. Like, it's just the focus on the game is the most important thing. And I think there are, as you said, just the experience of last year, the younger players know, look, this is only just a sideshow. It's just going to have the head right for the game is the most important thing.
Obviously, it's been a very good championship campaign for Cork getting to the All-Ireland final. Looking at the results earlier, Matthew, obviously in the group stages, wins against Wexford, Clare, Dublin and Waterford. Okay, a blip against losing the Tip, but the reality is that game didn't really matter to Cork because you were already through to the knockout stages before you played Tip in your final group game. Looking back at the group, so what are the big positives that you took, and even the development and growth of the team from that first game against Wexford right through to, I suppose, when you played Waterford again in the semi-final?
Yeah, I suppose like I would be that way inclined as well, just trying to look at the positive things. You know, we got the business done. There were tough games. You know, the other group had a couple of weaker teams in it. I was happier going the route we went, even though I know we were riding Kilkenny and Galway, but at least we had kind of all the games were solid games. We finished games strongly all the time, which was very pleasing. We got 28 players out on the field, which would have been a massive goal of mine, just again, as many people. Like, there's no, I wouldn't agree with the adage, like, just having players on the pan just for the sake, but like, to give them a chance, you know, like, it's all well and good to give someone 2 or 3 minutes. It's not fair on them. And we wanted to go a panel, so we got the 28 players out in the fields in the championship games. The Tipperary game, even though it was disappointing for, I suppose, a few different reasons, like, but it was disappointing to lose, but at the same time, it very kind of leveled us. Really kind of got us back for the last 2 weeks. I think it still had a kind of a side effect us going into the Waterford semi-final. But again, I don't think that's a bad thing either. I think all the media outlets know, like especially the national ones that were up in Croke Park, were really honing in our weak start. Like that's the first time we did that. It was like I would be very, very, very surprised if we did it again. Have we learned from it? Yes, we have. We've addressed this and all that. But as I say, from all the games, I think there was a lot more positives than there was negatives.
You mentioned there as well, Matthew, about building a strong panel and getting depth in the squad. That's something that you certainly achieved over the league and the championships so far. But how big a target was that for you, just to have those options to bring off the bench?
Huge, because I suppose the big focus, like we were in the All-Ireland final last year and we were 6 points up, and it was Gabba's bench beat us, and that was widely known. We played them in the league final again this year where we were a goal up, I think it was. And again, their bench beat us again. And I was very conscious of it before the league campaign started. And it was a thing that when we sat down as a management, we discussed at length. But it was a big thing of mine. And there was a lot of kind of players, I suppose, that were on the periphery last year that didn't really get a run. For example, Emma Murphy. We gave her a few starts there and she flourished in it. And you know, just getting all these kind of girls into it is very important, because like when we needed them against Waterford, a couple of subs we bring on did make a difference, and there was more to come onto it as well. Like, you know, so we have options, which is it's a dream situation.
Moving on, I suppose, to the All-Ireland semi-final against Waterford, and you touched on it earlier there about Cork's slow start, probably not in keeping with what we've seen earlier in the year, but took Cork 25 minutes to get in the scoreboard. What do you put that down to, and what can Cork learn from that ahead of the game against Kilkenny?
We have to look at ourselves first of all, I would put it down to Waterford and Spada team is what we, you know, anyone perceived. Like their forward line were after coming off the Limerick quarter final, and they were very good, and they came at us and we had no answer for it. I do think the fact that we had Ashton missing as well was a big bearing in it. We don't 100% depend on any player, but when we're down three quality players from last year already, like for another one to come out of the mix again, it was unsettling. And I suppose it was myself, Davey, and Ashley only knew about this appeal on the Saturday morning, and we kept away from the players. But I was coming off the train, we're after getting news that she was after being successful, but we decided on the Friday night we wouldn't start her regardless. And we told the players, look, after last year's stuff with Orla Cronin, like it was shocking the way it was all dealt with. Not by the Cork Camogie, but it was just, you know, the quarter 12 night before in All Ireland, you know, had that effect on us last year. We could say it didn't, but it did. Like, and you know, that's all fine and good, but we started off slow, or we had a plan made out and we didn't execute it. The runs were way too deep, and the ball into the forwards line was a backstream, and you know, we gave them confidence, and it's the one thing we want to do was choke them, not to give them the confidence, but we gave them confidence. And like, to be fair to them, we were very lucky to come off the half time only a couple of points down. It could have been a lot more.
Then Cork showed huge character in the second half. I think you outscored them, what was it, 12 points to 3, am I right? Yeah, in the second half. So like, it told us a lot about the resilience and character of this Cork team. So what were the positives that you took from that second half?
As you say, I suppose the bench was one factor. Like, but I think we got 8 points unanswered, which was really pleasing. The fitness showed, you know, as all the qualities you were kind of bringing into the team was very good. Like, you know, the options, like when they kind of really settled down and played to the game plan, the options were unlimited. Like, you know, we scores coming everywhere, and there was a variety of scorers as well, which is great. And just, you know, they given like Saoirse McCartan there, you know. She was plagued with injuries. Like, she was probably one of our best players in the league, and she was plagued with injuries. And just to get a good 60 minutes, and it was kind of, I suppose, the last 20 minutes, we really saw what Saoirse, the Saoirse we know, play. And, you know, all that was well and good. And I suppose then as well, Beck Carton was causing riot with us. And when Laura Tracy went on top of her, she snuffed her out. You know, so it's just giving us more options. Like, as we're doing our matchups with Kilkenny and all that, we just have loads of options. Like, we're going to go one system, but we have other things in reserve as well in our head.
I noticed after the game against Waterford, you called Ashton Thompson different gravy. I think that was very after Matthew. Mm-hmm. She was superb when she was introduced. She turned the game in Cork's favour. But having a big player like that perform, like, and on the big stage. That's so important. And you mentioned Laura Tracy there, like, especially since Cork are without the services of a couple of key players like Orla Cronin, but to have the Aisling Thompsons and the Laura Tracy's, big players step up on the big days, that'd be so important again against Kilkenny.
Huge. Like, Aisling has been unreal all year for us, in fairness. We're like, you know, like, she's back to nearly today, Aisling Thompson, when I was first involved in 2014 and 15, she was unbelievable. I think she's back to that kind of importance. Once again, no, she was always being important to the Cork Camogie, don't get me wrong, but like, I think she's back to her best. And then you throw in Laura Tracy, like, to me personally, I thought man of match was Libby Coppinger. I thought she was absolutely outstanding in full back, and she was under pressure. She was brilliant. I may have Caroline, you've Amy O'Connor, so you've leaders everywhere, which is vital. And you know, some of them be outspoken in the dressing room or in the field, but other people just leave it to do. Like Libby, we've been very, very, very quiet girl, very assuming girl. She's outstanding. But she does her talking on the field, which is great. Like, and just she's just role models everywhere on the field. But the leaders really stood up now in the second half last week.
You've actually preempted my next question. It was about Libby Coppinger. She's flying the Carbery flag. Of course, she's from St. Columbus out here in West Cork. But can you talk to me a small bit about Libby and, I suppose, her characteristics and her attributes and what she brings to the team?
I couldn't speak highly enough of the girl. She reminds me in so many ways of, like, and I'm talking about out in the field now, of Breach Crockery. Just she's just like alive where I like, you know, even when the football was going on there now, like, there was never any question. She came out the field, she'd be just dancing around the place again. You know, again, there was a bit of madness with Breach, but Libby is just so unassuming. And, you know, she just, you could see her with the younger girls and she's having a quiet work with them. And it's invaluable to us. Like, but like every danger player we have, it's between herself and Maeve Callaghan, the two of them just go over and snuff them out there. Like, but she's brilliant. She's absolutely invaluable to the team.
I suppose offensively, Cork went so strong this year. Looking at the scores there, Amy O'Connor, Katrina Mackey, Chloe Sigerson, Cliona Healy, Laura Hayes, all scoring well. Serge McCarthy chipping in as well. What I noticed defensively, not conceding too much. Right, we put that Tipperary game to one side, like we said earlier, Cork are already through before then. But we're looking at 1-6, 2-5, 0-9, 0-10, and 0-10 conceded in the other games. Like, you're pretty happy with that.
Very happy because I suppose it's kind of known factually that our two wing forwards are tending to go bombing up in the forward line, Saoirse and Laura Hayes, and we still concede only that much. But it's like, fairness to the coaches, especially I suppose Davey, you have to give him credit, is just that they have the eye on that, like doing the tight marking, the tackling, like it's has gone to another level altogether. You have to give the Camogie Association, you know, kudos for that as well, because they've tweaked the rules a small bit just to get more kind of contact into it. But we've really excelled in that this year. Like it's the touch tight stuff, and look, there's a lot of things that he's bringing to the picture and on the defensive kind of side of things as well. But what that allows us then, because we're going so we are so strong defensively, is that it allows our forwards then to our wing backs to bomb forward. So it actually brings an element to the offensive as well. So it's a double caveat, really.
Bringing Davy Fitzgerald in as coach was seen as a huge coup for Cork. So what has he brought to the table? What difference has he made?
Look, I suppose the position I was in is that you're dealing with Kevin Murray last year, who was absolutely excellent. And I know myself that if we couldn't try to come near that, I was under pressure from day one. I tried around and it just went when Davy came in. It's just like, obviously his experience, like there's a kind of a, you know, I've obviously a control level of madness there with him too. Like the pre-season, the players this was close to insanity. There was actually times I felt sorry for them out in the field, which is weird. Like, but I did, like, it was 2.5 to 3 hours. But like he said it to him all, there was a minute to his madness. And like he did say that it would bring character to him. Like our fitness wouldn't be questioned. Like we haven't played a team in the championship that has been fitter than us. Like they don't have finished the game. But the character we built in them and all that, so it's been huge. Like he brought down a couple of lads from Care with him now too, but there's another lad, Bomber, James Hickey's his name. He's another coach. He's top drawer. Like he's going to be an absolute exceptional coach. And it just brings a different voice and a different kind of way of going. Like, you know, there was nothing wrong. Well, like with what we did last year, like going into the final, I was very confident what we had done as a management, and the players were the same. But like, you know, we just had to bring something different, and you know, that's what Davy brings.
We've got this far without really talking about Kilkenny, the opposition I suppose huge respect, like, between Cork and Kilkenny. They've met so much over the last couple of years. Kilkenny, impressive in their semi-final win, Heathrow and Galway. So what sort of challenge are you expecting from them?
Every game has been, you know, over the last few years, there's always only been a score in it. Like, they've lost two games in the last 2 years, and the two of them were last year. We've been by a point, and Galway have been by a point in the championship. They're undefeated this year. They lost, you know, a few players start the year and during the year, but they just, like, you know, they just have something like a manufactured up there, like, that they just come through. And, like, if we want to play hurling with them, they'll go toe to toe with the hurling. If we want to go physical, they'll go toe to toe on that as well. They're just, they, like, anyway you look at them, they have it. Their management team is just, you know, like, the wealth of experience there. But, like, when it comes to Pat O'Neill, you know, Philly Larkin and Brian Dowling himself and Tommy Shefflin, like, it's unbelievable. And it's great for the game. But look, they're not going to be fazed by playing us. Like, you could see it by the celebrations last week. It was a big deal for them to get into the final because of the, you know, the hurt they had last year when we beat them in the 64th minute. So, like we have massive respect from, like, after the Waterford game, like, we weren't in the stand. Did it bother me who we were playing? No, it didn't, because we would have a graph for both of them. There is a traditional thing with Cork and Kilkenny, it's huge. Like, there's ferocious mutual respect, and I spent an hour there the other day with Brian Dowling up in Croke Park, and, like, he's a top class guy. Like, but, like, there was no mind games going on. It was just pure talk about hurling, and it was, you know, look, we know we have a mammoth task ahead of us. We're going in as mad underdogs, and, you know, in some ways it's a great way to be, like, because we didn't perform in the semi-final. We know we have to bring a performance, and, like, we'll be watching out for one or two of their players, but our main goal is to just watch ourselves and trying to get the best out of our lads.
Final question. So how much are you enjoying your first year in the senior hack seat? Is it everything you thought it would be?
This week is great. Yeah. But it's been intense. Like, I knew from being involved around the place, I suppose, for the last few years, I knew the work the party was putting in and all that. I had an idea, but I didn't know the scale of it. Like, it's been tough. Myself and my brother knowing a couple of lads here, we have a business here as well. Like, and it's extremely busy as well. So trying to mix the boat at the start was extremely hard. So I had to come up with a couple of ground rules, I suppose, and when I could be contacted and all that. But it's full on. But, like, look, the people who led this to me, like, you know, I wouldn't be coaxed by anything else, but it's just the players. After the defeat last year, they were hurting so much, but they really wanted to get back on the wagon straight away, and their desire for that. And when I met a couple of the kind of older players, just to see the ground it up, like, was this what they want? Was this what they wanted? And, you know, to go through a few things, and I was sold. And as soon as I got my own personal stuff in order, it was kind of a straightforward decision then. But it's been great. Look, it's a huge honour. I'd be always kind of more in the background. I love the coaching. I love dealing with the players and the man management side of things. The limelight kind of stuff, I wouldn't be into. So getting used to that was very, very hard. But look, it's been a massive honour for me and my family and Douglas as well. Like, you know, but look, that'll all be decided on Sunday week if we get the results where we are at.
Fingers crossed for a dream end to a great season. Thanks very much for joining us, Matthew, and best of luck against Kilkenny.
And thank you for all the coverage during the year. You've been very good. Thanks a million.
Delighted to be joined by Avril Condell of Access Credit Union, who's here to tell us a little bit about Cultivate Farm Finance. So, Avril, maybe just give us a brief introduction to what Cultivate Farm Finance actually is.
So, Cultivate is a collaboration of 40 credit unions throughout Ireland. West Cork has both Access Credit Union and Bantry Credit Union. The loan itself is up to 75,000 unsecured for 7 years is the max term, but obviously can be personalised and customised to each individual's needs. It's a great facility actually for farmers because it covers cash flow, machinery purchases, like there's a fertiliser crisis now as we know. So literally anything that is required for the farm can be covered by this loan. The rate is very competitive. We can match the repayment term and the repayment frequency to each individual farmer, depending on their enterprise. And you also have the benefit of the life cover that comes with the credit union loan, which I think is very important for people these days at no extra cost.
And if I'm a farmer and I'm listening to you on this podcast today, how can I get involved?
So if you're not sure of which credit union you're involved with, you can go to Cultivate Credit Union directly, which is www.cultivate-cu.ie, or you can phone 1800 839 999. And if Access is your credit union, you can contact me directly. So it's avril@accesscu.ie, or you can ring me on 085-268-2727.
Welcome back to the Star Sport podcast, and Kieran, we're going to now preview this week's Southern Star sports section. And obviously, having heard from Matthew Toomey, and of course you mentioned Jennifer Curry, Neil O'Leary at the top of the show as well, so lots of camogie, I'm assuming, in this week's Southern Star.
Yeah, loads of camogie, loads for our readers to sink their teeth into ahead of the All-Ireland finals on Sunday. So like we talked about earlier, Matthew Hurley has a very nice piece about Libby Coppinger. She's been an integral part of the Cork Camogie success story this year. So Matthew spoke to Mike Brennan, the Camogie Ladies chairman, and he spoke to Paddy Murray, the former Cork senior manager, just to get their thoughts on Libby and the season that she's having, and even not only her impact on the field, but her impact off the field, especially locally here in West Cork, just to have someone of Libby Coppinger's stature, great role model for young girls locally. So a really good piece by Matthew Hurley that's worth checking out. We've also spoken to Fiona Keating just about her season so far, and we touched on earlier, she's becoming more and more important to this Cork Camogie team. Ahead of the All-Ireland Intermediate Final, we have an interview with Aisling Maloney from Courcy Rovers, where she's going to uphold the strong family tradition by lining up in Croke Park this Sunday when Cork take on Galway. And then we have an interview with Jennifer O'Leary, or Jennifer Curry, like we say, they call her up in Armagh, because just think this is a great, great story. It's 2 months shy of her 39th birthday. She came back out of intercounty retirement this year, as she revealed on the Star Sport podcast earlier this year when she was chatting to us. So just a great story about Jennifer O'Leary, one of the greats of Cork Camogie, 8-time All-Star, 4-time All-Ireland winner, and she's still doing it. So loads there, loads of Camogie reading. Also, we touched on the GA action. There's a hell of a lot going on at the moment. We're after one hurling championship weekend, and we're going straight into the other. So for fans of Bendon, Berry Row, Newcestown, Kilbritton, Naggerty Rangers, Courses, with so much in this Thursday's Southern Star match reports and reaction from the weekend just gone, while also looking ahead to what's coming up. And it was also a very busy weekend in the Carbery Junior A and B hurling championships. So with match reports from there as well, it's just a really busy time right now, but it's a great time to be a GA fan in West Cork. So that's well worth checking out. Conor Horahan, he got off the mark inside. You see his goal for Derby County.
Beautiful goal. Classic Horahan as well.
Oh, brilliant. Well, he just curled it all outside the box. 10 minutes left. It was brilliant to see, like, Dempsey's home debut in Pride Park. And it proved the winner. So Derby County beat Oxford. So Conor Horan's off the mark. So we have that. Also, a bit of hockey success for two local guys, for Mark Collins and Ian Perrott. They're both part of the Bendon Grammar team that won the All-Ireland Schoolboys Hockey Championship earlier in the year. But they were part of the Ireland Under-21 team that had European hockey success the weekend just gone. So well done to them. We have that story. The Ballybwee boys, this is a tongue twister now. The Ballybwee races were on over the bank holiday weekend. So we have the full roundup from that. And there was local success for the O'Reilly family in Drima League, which is great to see. And there's a lot more besides that as well. We had a couple of skip roars at the World Under-19 Rowing Championships. And Darren McElhinney on Tuesday night, he did it again. He smashed another Irish record. The Irish men's under-23 3,000-metre record that he'd only broken a couple of weeks ago. And I think he broke it already earlier in the year. So he's getting faster and faster. The European Athletics Championships coming up in Germany in a couple of weeks' time. So Dara's hitting form at the right time. So there's that and a lot more. It's a packed Southern Star on Thursday.
Lovely stuff, Kieran. And, of course, that will be available in shops across West Cork from early Thursday morning. But if you can't make it to a shop for any reason, or you're living abroad and want to read about the Camogie final or about your club that was in action last weekend, you can always subscribe online. Just go to www.southernstar.ie/ePaper and read the Southern Star on your computer, tablet or smartphone for less than €2 per week. Thanks for listening to the Star Sport podcast, and thanks as well to our producer, Dylan Mangan. We'll be back at the same time next week. If you enjoy these shows, please make sure to rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. Slán tomhol.